here to talk about financial advice for people who don't got squat. And Elizabeth told me that wasn't proper grammar. She's always telling me that. But I'm sure you understand what I mean. It's just financial advice for college students. Who in here don't got squat? Anybody? All right. You're the one I'm talking to. Some of you do have squat. That's great. Maybe church seems like an awkward place for to talk about money. I know there's been a lot of financial.
Was that recording?
Mm-hmm. Over the years,
that voice.
Ripping people off. Mm-hmm. But actually, like when you look at it, the Bible as a whole, and even Jesus himself, has a lot to say about our finances. So that's we wanted to share a little bit of that with you this morning. And there's a verse I like in John 8. It's not necessarily about finances, but I think the truth can definitely apply. And there it is. Jesus was saying to those Jews who had believed in him, if you continue in my word, then you're truly disciples of mine, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. And just the thought is that as Christians, you know, God's word has a lot to say to help us in our life, in every area, in every age and season of our life, and even about money. You know, we can benefit from continuing in his words, and the part that where the truth will make you free. I think some of us can really look at our finances like I'd like a little more freedom in my finances. So this certainly can apply to our financial part of our lives, and I really wish that when I was your age, I could have had a little more guidance in this area of my life. With the mess that so many people's finances are in today, I really feel like we could use a lot more teaching about this in school. I don't know what you guys get about this in school and or in college, and definitely in our churches as well. First things first, like just a little disclaimer, certainly not me, but I'm a financial expert, and Elizabeth is more so. She's not like licensed or approved or anything like that, although she's very wise. Don't take anything that we say to mean. I mean, don't like run off and.
It's in tax advice.
Yeah, it's not tax advice. I'm not sure. It's just a little disclaimer. But it's a wise advice that we've learned over the years that we think has some merit to it. Hopefully, your parents won't be calling us next week. We want to start things off with a little puzzler, a little problem to get you to think about. So if you got a pencil, put your thinking hats on. This is what we're going to do. I want you to figure out a way. Here's a slide. Here's a puzzler. I want you to figure out a way to give me $63. You can only use 6 bills. You can't use any ones, and you can't use any change. So maybe we'll get some music on for a second here. Get you guys to think about this. You need to get $63, you can only use 6 bills, no ones, and no change.
Do you have to use 6 bills or can you use less?
Yeah, if you can use less, that's great, but I couldn't, but there you go. Give me an idea now here.
Yes, raise your hand.
You raise your hand when you got it.
Yeah.
I bet John T. That's smarter than John, I got it.
Is anybody getting hung up on it? Like, does it seem like I asked Elizabeth this one right before bed, she got mad.
I got frustrated.
Couldn't go to sleep. Anybody? So two people have it? Jesse and John? Hey, write it on a piece of paper and bring it up here and show
them. I don't
have 10. For the sake of those.
Do I need to use 6 or 5?
You can use 5. I like how you do that.
Yeah, I'll use
5.
Ray Stevens?
Ray Stevens. What's the problem? what's seems difficult about doing that? Anybody got it, John? Got it?
I think I got it in balls, but
you can get it in one bill? Oh yeah, I guess so. I need exactly $63. I could give you some change. Do you guys want to keep thinking about it? Or you want me to tell you?
Hold on, I think I got it.
All right.
Anyone's gonna get here instead of John.
Some people hear this word like
you got it.
Awesome. You got it. Alright, John, tell everyone how you got it.
$50 bill and then four $2 bills and a $5 bill.
There you go.
Exactly.
John, help yourself to the donuts, man.
Yes.
Alright. A $50 bill, $5 bill. You guys ever seen a $2 bill? Yeah. So we had a problem here that seemed like it was impossible, but the lesson that I want you guys to get from this is that what seems impossible at first isn't really impossible. It can be done. And I don't know, when you think about your financial life, if there are things that seem impossible to you, as far as your future financially goes, but I just want you to remember this puzzle, that it can be done. So let's just think about a few questions. Are there things to you that do seem impossible regarding money in your life? Just shout them out.
I am horrible at keeping track.
Like
my dad,
it
beats me over the head with
cricket,
and I don't use it.
Yeah. So keeping track of your checkbook.
Yeah.
Okay. Seems impossible. Anybody else got things that seem impossible? How about having
reconciliation?
What's that?
Reconciliation.
What's that mean?
Reconciling the checkbook to the actual bank.
Oh, you're one of those folks. You like
making
okay.
Every 2 months or so. I'm just really trying to keep track of small stuff, like it adds up. You have all these small expenses and they add up and you're like,
actually having enough to live within your means, maybe. Or how about being debt free? Does that seem impossible? Yeah. Being having enough money to be generous. That's a far fetch. But just remember as we one of the main things we want you to know is that things that may seem impossible to you as you think about your money, they aren't impossible. You can do that. You know, another question to think about is what exactly is money? Is it just something? Is it just money, or does it mean something more to us in our life? You know, for me, I wish I really could have known a little bit back when I was your age of what I know now concerning money. But fortunately, I married not only a very beautiful woman, but a very wise woman as well. But when I was your age, when I was in college, just a couple years ago, I look back and I'll describe myself as foolish and wasteful and very irresponsible concerning money. So understand the money, the trouble that it can get you into. I'm not here to point my finger at you guys, but I'm here to say, watch out for that hole because I just fell in it. I'm trying to help you not to do the same thing. You name it, and I did it. Racking up huge phone bills, which was in the day before cell phones and the free nights and weekends. We had a long distance plan. Eating out, ordering pizza, Krusty's, several times a week. You guys do that?
Yes.
If I've never seen another Krusty, I'll be fine. Wasting money on beer and cigarettes and that sort of thing. I wasn't a Christian back when I was in college. Credit cards, buying CDs. We didn't have iPods. I'm sure you guys spend your money on it as well. But, on top of that, I was a prime example as I look back on this proverb. I don't know if you've ever read this one in Proverbs 17. It says that it's senseless to pay tuition to educate a fool who has no heart for wisdom. Now, I hope this doesn't describe you, but when I was in school, up until the last few semesters before I became a Christian, I just really didn't appreciate my education for the investment that it really is. And I can just kick myself for that now because I run into things later in life that are obstacles because I didn't buckle down and really but that's a part of our financial thinking too, our education. But thankfully, God got a hold of my life during my senior year. I began to follow Jesus, and that decision and that period of my life has forever changed my life in every single way, and including financially. But did you want to?
No, I just had very similar. I graduated with a couple thousand dollars in credit card debt, and just kind of did the same. You know, I didn't really think much about where the money was going because it was from my parents, my mom, by the way. My parents always sent me money and paid for my tuition or anything, so I kind of took it for granted and took advantage of it because it wasn't mine, and I just sort of splurged, and there was always more if I needed it in my situation. So I wasn't very wise either, so definitely it changed a lot.
But, we have a lot of thanks to God for, I do, especially for his provision of an amazing life. But, you know, together, Elizabeth and I today, we work on staff with an OCF, and that's not the biggest thing for us. We have to raise our support for a living. But just with some things that we've learned about money, you know, we're homeowners, we're able to own our own house. We own two automobiles without automobile payments. We're able to give generously to our church and to other organizations, and we're free of consumer debt, you know, credit cards, car payments, and that sort of thing. And we are very thankful for that. I mean, that's just a rare thing, but we're just incredibly thankful for what the Lord has taught us, an example of other people in our lives, and his provision. But, back to our question, what is money? But money is not just money. You know, in the New Testament, Paul wrote in 1 Timothy that the love of money is at the root of all kinds of evil, and some people craving money have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many sorrows. You know, some people say and believe money will get you anything in life, including happiness. Jesus probably put it best in Matthew 6 when he said, "Don't store up treasures here on earth where they can be eaten by moths and get rusty, where thieves break in and steal. Store your treasures in heaven, where they will never become moth-eaten or rusty, where they'll be safe from thieves. Wherever your treasure is, there your heart and thoughts will also be." In other words, how you decide to use your treasure or your money determines what's really in your heart and determines what you really value in life. And sometimes we just don't stop and think about it that way. But that's the truth that Jesus is trying to get across to us. So this is the reason that we really need to talk about money as a church, because money is a spiritual issue in our life. How we view money and how we use it is a big deal in how we, our discipleship, our formation spiritually, especially these days more than ever. I mean, if you just think about the culture that we live in today in America, it's a consumer-driven culture with just tons of personal and even national debt. And I heard once that although America represents only 10% of the world's population, that we consume over 80% of the world's resources. I don't know if you've ever heard that or how that even makes you feel. To me, it just sounds disgusting, but I can't sit here and point a finger because we're all a part of that together. So that's just an example of how our culture uses the world's resources and money and that sort of thing. So as followers of Jesus, as we try to use our money in ways that reflect the values of kingdom of God, I feel like the deck is really stacked against us in our day and age. Just the example and keeping up with the Joneses around us and even our nation's example. But there again, I want you to remember our puzzler that we just did a few minutes ago, that what seems impossible isn't really impossible. It can be done. We can learn to use our money in ways that honor God. So maybe a few questions for you. Who in here has a job? Especially I'm interested like in college students who get a job. Who in here has to help pay for college somehow? Yeah. Who has to pay for all of college by yourself? Who has a credit card? Okay, leave your hands up. Who has two credit cards?
Yeah.
No, debit card, debit card. Anybody have three? Store credit cards count credit cards. Four?
I have
a lot. You have a lot?
That doesn't mean they have.
Okay, yeah. But Who never carries a balance? Like you paid off every month. Yeah. Did you guys, I don't know if you caught some of the things that were shown on the screen as you walked in, but some eye-opening statistics is 83% of undergraduate college students have a credit card, which is not a bad thing, but a lot of people have. And this one I could hardly believe, but the average college student will graduate with over 4 credit cards that they have. $2,300, over $2,300 is the debt that's on the, when you graduate college, the average college student has about $2,300 in debt. So it was on the average. When you get out of college, the average American, at least from National Geographic last year, said that there was $8,500 in credit card debt for the average American here. That's probably more now because they've raised the minimum. But, you know, some of these statistics like are just, you know, that they're eye-opening.
So I was going to talk a little bit about kind of what contributes to this spend more than you have mentality, spend more than you have lifestyle, because that's essentially kind of what's happening in our culture. Is we feel like we kind of are worthy, you know, you're worth it, and you deserve this, and you deserve that. So what do you think kind of contributes to that mentality? Ego. But where is that? What feeds that? Like, are there any things like in our culture that maybe make you feel like you're worth more than, not that you're not worth more than you are, but that you have to have stuff to be happy or whatever.
Advertisement.
Yeah.
Wow.
TV shows.
Media. Well, if you just want something like as fast as possible. Mm-hmm. So
instant gratification, right? Yeah. Delayed gratification is something like you never really hear about. As we've been watching the Olympics, I don't know if you guys have, well, I'm sure we've all been watching it, but have you guys caught on to this commercial that's being played over and over? Life takes this, and life takes this, and life takes this. Life takes pizza, you know?
Is that where the guy eats the big hamburger?
Yeah, life takes determination.
That's what I meant.
Or luck or whatever. Life does take all those things, but their point is that life takes pizza, so if you have the pizza, and everything else is going to be taken care of. And I think that we're just so bombarded over and over with, like, you deserve this, and you can have it, and even if you don't have the money in your bank, go ahead and get this, because you'll have the money in the bank eventually, which may be true, but may not be true. So, and I think needs versus wants, I think we have a really hard time determining, in the midst of this bombardment from our culture, what really is a need in our life. What do we really need, and what do we want, but not maybe or maybe we don't really need it right now, we just want it right now. And so I think that's, I know with having kids, I know for me, I get really bored looking at their toys, and so I'm constantly thinking, what's something little I can go get them. But then I think, well, do they really need this to be happy? Do they really need this to, you know, what are the bigger values that I'm trying to teach them to get along and to share and this and that? And do they really need this other toy?
And if you go buy them a $50 toy, they'll like the box.
That's right. Well, I heard you a minute ago, Katie, saying they keep sending you credit cards in the mail. Why do you feel like you guys are targets? I mean, it just seems like... Yeah, you guys are kind of one of the only populations. I think I heard somewhere that children are being targeted now, too, but I think there's a big campaign against that. I think you guys are one of the only populations that don't have an income that are being offered this credit. And the credit card companies are just getting filthy rich off of that because you don't have the money yet, but in your mind you're thinking, oh, but I will, and I can pay it off when that. And that's just wrong. So what about emotions? Am I still on that? Okay. What emotions does money stir up within us? Like, as we're having this conversation, what emotions are you guys feeling regarding money? Might be kind of a weird question.
Hate it?
Don't want to deal with it.
Unless I'm like, people are giving
probably things that even if you don't struggle with all of these right now, you will at some point. Yeah, I think selfishness, I know for me, like, it can be really difficult to compare, you know, with other families that may have more or this or that. But inside of us, I feel like Jesus wants us to feel peace about this area in our lives, you know. In Philippians, Paul even talks about that he had learned the secret of being content, whether he had a lot or whether he had a little. He had learned the secret, and I think through trials in his life, he came to, there were times in his life when he had a lot, there were times in his life when he had squat. And he learned that it's not about how much you have or how little you have, it's about your relationship with the Lord, it's about how you use what you have, using it wisely, using it generously. And I think that's super important because Jesus wants us to have peace about our finances no matter how much we have. It's not an issue about what's in the bank. It's an issue with your heart and how you use what you have. And your attitude toward money, I think, really makes a big difference. So.
I just want to, point out credit cards aren't necessarily evil things. You can use them in ways that benefit your life, especially if you don't carry huge balances. But they really, the whole nature of them is they easily get out of hand. I think you go into debt. But there's a good kind of debt and a bad kind of debt. You know, Pastor once told me that, you know, there's things like your education, your college loans, real estate, and then you've got a mortgage on the house. These are things that appreciate their investments in your life. And then there, you know, there's another kind of debt that's not so good. It's consumer debt. You know, big credit card balances, store gap balances, or whatever. You know, maybe car payments or that sort of thing. That things that depreciate over time. So, you know, there are different kinds of debt. And, you know, you can't go through life without totally being in debt. No one. I've never seen anyone just be able to buy a house like without the billboard and pay for it. But just one more thing to think about before we move on. Just you know, considering the significance of down the road goals versus short sighted kind of mindless purchases. And all of us struggle with this, but you know, your down the road goals is like you like to be able to live within your means and not be in debt, own a house and a car, and, you know, these sort of things. And short sighted goals is like, oh boy, I really look good in those jeans. Let me just get on. You know, you want to order pizza again tonight. Again, there's nothing wrong with jeans and pizza, but, you know, just, I think really a lot of us don't really think about our money in these sort of ways. We just kind of go about life just spending it, but the things that you think about, you know, really determine your actions towards it. And another good question just to leave you with is, are there any honest ways to save up and work hard for the things that you don't need, but things that you just want? There's more satisfaction in getting something that you have kind of worked hard and saved up for than just kind of find it right on the spot right there. You know, these kinds of questions, you know, may seem a bit much for a college student or whatever, but and you're not building a lot of capital in your life right now, but one of the things that you are doing is you're building habits and attitudes into your life that are going to be with you for a while, and there could be real good habits, you know, that really bless your life, but they could be bad ones that are hard to break later on, too. But just want to let you know, you guys do not have to conform to the average statistics. And remember our puzzle that we did. What seems impossible isn't really impossible. It can be done. And if you haven't figured out by now, that's something I want you to remember. How to get $63. I want you to remember that it's not impossible. So, that's cool. But anyway, here's the main deal with our financial advice, something that we want to share with you called the 10-10-80 plan. That's great. You know, you've heard some of us talk about LT, our summer program. I went to my first LT in 1997 in Myrtle Beach. I heard a pastor talk about the 10-10-80 plan. That's something that has that I've lived by and has been with me ever since. Elizabeth Pepges and I have worked our marriage off of this plan. And in this plan, you're not going to open the Bible and there's the 10-10-80 plan right there. It's not the law. It's not commandments. It's just wise advice. I would like to take the guideline of 10-10-80 and just kind of match it with three ways the Bible teaches us to use our money. And for now, I don't really want you guys to worry so much about the percentages, the 10, 10, and the 80. But I want you to worry about just the way of life. And we just want to place emphasis on three adjectives and those are generous, wise, and responsible. The 10-10-80 kind of stands on giving 10%, saving 10%, living off of the rest of the 80%. So I'm just kind of changing that a little bit. You know, the Bible teaches us to be generous, to be wise, and to be responsible. So let's look first at the generous kind of part of it. After I graduated from college a couple years ago, before I went on staff with NLCF, I had about a year's worth of time where I needed to find a job and work in the area. And I applied at like over 30 different places before I could find a job. It was horrible. But I finally found a job at Hardee's, and the old Hardee's took me, and also had a temp job. I was a secretary for some professors at Virginia Tech. But I was making like about $90 a week. You're kind of living on your own just out of college. That's not an awful lot of money. And, you know, I've been a part of the church for a while, and I've heard people teach about tithing and giving and that sort of thing. But one morning, I was taking some time to read the Bible, have a quiet time, or however you want to put it. And I read this Proverbs 3. It says, "To honor the Lord from your wealth and from the first of all your produce, so that your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with plenty." And, you know, I was kind of conflicted because I was making $90 a week. I had bills to pay. But yet I just felt like God was just challenging me with this thought of honoring him first before anything else with my money. And I was just thinking, well, God, I don't have a lot of money. You know, tied off of $90 is like $9. That's not a lot. But, I, you know, from that moment on, I decided, you know, I just would take God up on kind of a challenge and do it. I felt like he was leading. And sure enough, I never was not able to pay her bill. I never lacked anything. I've never for a month gone hungry. And ever since that time, you know, even after Elizabeth and I got married, we have just tried to give to our church and to other things as a first priority off of what we make. And, you know, I think it's important because as we learn to be generous, money loses its grip on us. Generosity helps us just as much as it helps whoever we give it to. And, you know, it's something that continually throughout our life and just as soon as possible, we all need to settle what I call the two masters dilemma. Jesus had another great insight about money when he said, "No one can serve two masters. You'll hate one and love the other, or be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money." That's a real challenging thought, but being generous really helps us to settle that issue. And one of the most basic things, even about being a Christian, is that we're called to not only know God, but to imitate him. And one of the things we need to remember is that God himself is a giver, like it says in John.
And I think that just really is something that we all need to learn to help each other on, is just being more disciplined with
we could talk all day about investing and saving for retirement, but for now, just start a simple savings account anywhere. If you're able to start one with one that hopefully one that will earn interest, and just leave it alone. Just forget about it, and you'll be so glad down the road that you did.
So just to kind of move on to the last area, just of being responsible. You know, we all need money to live. We all need money to pay our bills. We need to eat, drink, and be merry. And but we're taught, especially in the scriptures, just to do this in a way that's responsible, to be self-controlled, to have discretion, and just counter to our materialistic, I need it right now culture that we live in. And this is where what's called a budget comes in handy. And my definition of a budget is this up here: actually knowing where your money's going, living within your means, not spending more than you have, and being your credit card's master, not its servant. You know, we're not talking about being prudish. You know, there's plenty of room to live in this responsible way. There's plenty of room to enjoy life, but the trick is just not to enjoy it beyond your means of paying for it. You know, Elizabeth and I, you know, Elizabeth's just amazing with money. You know, she talk about saving. You know, she has a little coin thing. She put her coins in there, and she rolls them up. She clips coupons, and we just do a lot of things. She makes homemade baby wipes. Never really bought baby wipes. All kinds of things that we do to try to save money. I'm not saying you gotta make your own baby wipes, but it's possible to have we don't have a humongous income, but it's possible to enjoy life but still be generous, wise. So just as we wrap things up, in our culture, so many people live with a lot of anxiety because of the huge financial mess in their lives. And it's a mess for a lot of reasons, because they have to keep up with the Joneses kind of mentality, to spend more than I have because I want it mentality, But biggest of all, maybe people don't acknowledge that everything they have comes from God's hand to start with, and that they don't honor God and His word with their money when He promises that He will bless them for doing it. And if we could get across just one thing to you today, it would just be to remind you do not have to conform to the average statistics that we've been showing. You can begin even today to learn a way of life to where your finances aren't a source of frustration for you, but where you become a wise and faithful steward of all God provides, and your finances can actually be something that blesses you with peace and contentment and purpose. You can learn how to be generous, blessing other people with what God has given you. You can learn to be wise, prepared for the future as much as possible. And you can learn to be responsible, to live within your means that God's given you. And just lastly, I just want you to remember again the puzzler, that what might seem impossible to you concerning money isn't really impossible. It can be done. So let me pray, and then I'm going to have Steve come up and share a few things. Lord, we thank you for just the chance that we had to be together today. Thank you, Lord, for how much you care for every detail of our life, and that you have just given us wisdom in your word with how we can use our money. It's really your money, Lord. But I pray that you would just teach each one of us, Lord, to be counterculture when we think about our money. Lord, that you teach us to be generous, to be wise and responsible. Lord, that we just wouldn't go through life just anxious and troubled, Lord, but that we would use the money and the resources that you have given to us, Lord, in a way that would bless other people, that would be honoring to you, Lord. Just help us to take these thoughts from this place today and begin to put them into action in our lives, Lord. And God, we ask that you